नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमदीरये. Before we start the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Prayesha Bhagavishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatam Ashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance of classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and love and devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So before we proceed, can we turn this down a little bit? Just down low. Thank you. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 26th day of September 2018 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Canto 11, entitled General History, Chapter 23, The Song of the Avanti Brahman, Brahmana, and we'll be reading text 58 through 61. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Nirvindyanashta dravine gathaklama Pravranjagam paryatamana itham Nirakrito sambirapti svadharman Akampito munaraha gatham Sri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvindyanashta dravine gathaklama Pravranjagam paryatamana itham Nirakrito sandarapi svadharman Akampito munaraha gatham Sri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvindyanashta dravine gathaklama Pravranjagam paryatamana itham Nirakrito sandarapi svadharman Akampito munaraha gatham. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Nirvindyanashta dravine gathaklama. Time out. We have a message. Go ahead.
Okay. So there are three cars parked near the dumpster which we need to have moved in order for us to bring in all those packages. Three cars near the dumpster.
I guess a triple car means three, so you get the three cars. Okay. All right, keep going. Next, yeah.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Nirvijanasta bhagine gatatmama Pramvan jagampa yatamana itham Nirakito sanvirapi svadharman Akampito mun munaraha ghatan Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvijanasta bhagine gatatmama From one Jagan for Yakaman Ishtam. Nirakato Sandhira Pisa Dharma. Akantito. Ladies. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Nirvijanasta bhagine gatatmama Pramvan jagham paryatamana ittham Nirakrito sandhirapi svadharma Akampito mun munaraha ghatam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvijanasta bhagine gatatmama Pramvan jagham paryatamana ittham Nirakrito sandhirapi svadharma Akampito mun munaraha ghatam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvijanasta bhagine gatatmama Pramvan jagham paryatamana ittham Nirakato sandhirapi svadharma Akampito munaraha. What the word means? Shri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Nirvidya. Becoming detached. Nashta Dravine. His wealth having been destroyed. Gatatmaha. Free from moroseness. Pravrajya, leaving home. Gam, the earth. Paryatamanaha, traveling. Ittham, in this way. Nirakutaha, insulted. Asadbihi, by rascals. Api, even though. Svadharmat, from his prescribed duties. Akampitaha, unswerved. Amum, this. Munihi, the sage. Aha, spoke. Gatam, song. Translation, Lord Sri Krishna said, thus becoming detached upon the loss of his property, this sage gave up his moroseness. He left home, taking sannyas, and began to travel about the earth. Even when insulted by foolish rascals, he remained unswerved from his duty and chanted this song. Purport. Those becoming free from the materialistic way of life, which involves grueling austerities performed to acquire money, may chant the preceding song of the Vaishnav sannyasi. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that if one is not capable of listening to the song of the sannyasi, then one will certainly remain an obedient servant of material illusion. So I'm going to read the next few verses. I'll say you soon. Sukaduka pradonanya Purushasyatma vibramaha Mitrodasina ripava Samsaras-tamasakritaha. No other force besides his own mental confusion makes the soul experience happiness and distress. His perception of friends, neutral parties, and enemies, and the whole material life he builds around this perception are simply created out of ignorance. Purport. Everyone is working hard to please their friends, defeat their enemies, and maintain the status quo with neutral parties. These relations are certainly based on the material body and do not exist beyond the body's inevitable demise. They are called ignorance or material illusion. Text 60. Tasmat sarvatmana tata nigrahana manobhya maya veshitaya yukta etavam yoga sangraha. My dear Uddhava, fixing your intelligence on me, you should thus completely control the mind. This is the essence of the science of yoga. Text 61. Yetam bhikshuna bhitam brahmanishtam samahitaha dharyam shravayam shrinvan dvandvarnayavabhibhuyate. Anyone who listens to or recites to others this song of the sannyasi, which presents scientific knowledge of the absolute, and who thus meditates upon it with full attention, will never again be overwhelmed by the dualities of material happiness and distress. Report. The Vaishnava sannyasi took shelter of the devotional service of the Lord, and thus could overcome the illusory potency of his worshipable object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He himself meditated upon and heard this song and also taught it to others. Having received the Lord's mercy, he enlightened other conditioned souls with transcendental intelligence so that they could also follow in the footsteps of the devotees of the Lord. Religion actually means to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord in loving service. Those who are trying to enjoy the material world or merely renounce it to avoid personal inconvenience cannot actually understand love of Godhead, in which the only objective is the satisfaction of the Lord. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada through the 11th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahman. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master through the Prabhupada opened my eyes to the first spot of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So, we've been through the whole song of the Avanti Brahman. Just to review quickly, the Avanti Brahman, originally, as it's described in this 11th canto, was kind of fallen from the mythical standard. He had become very greedy, he was very selfish, he was doing business, and he was so greedy that he wouldn't even spend money on his own sense gratification or that of his family. And eventually they became disgusted with him, and by his karma and by daiva, providence, he lost everything. He lost all his money. And he was greatly aggrieved by this. And having lost all his money, his family became very disgusted with him, kicked him out. And he was just in the greatest anxiety, that you can, material anxiety. So in that mood, suddenly the blessing of renunciation came to him. And his rabbinical teachings and his cultivation of knowledge came out, and he began to contemplate his own position. And really, the last verses leading up to the first verse we read, of course, the previous verse was the famous verse that I guess was mentioned, that sannyasis are meant to meditate on. When they take sannyas, they learn that verse. I will cross over material energy by taking shelter of Krishna. So, but previous to that, he gave some realized verses of analyzing what is the cause of his suffering. And he went through, well, is it my bad luck? Is it the demigods? our bad planets, and all of these things he rejected, and he finally concluded that it was the mind. It's the conditioned mind that is the cause of all of our problems. And I wanted to share with you a couple of verses that I picked out from the 11th chapter of Fifth Canto. You may recall the teachings of Jad Bhartu Maharaj Bahuvana. And he goes through a similar analysis and then comes to the conclusion that it's the mind, it's our materially infected mind, that's the whole problem, that's what keeps the soul bound to the suffering of this material world life, if you like. So there's many verses there, and I picked out a few. Just give me a second here. Okay. So this is from fifth canto, 11th chapter, verse number 7. I'll say the Sanskrit. And then I'm going to read Prabhupada's little purport here. The mind makes the living entity, this is text 7, 11:7. The mind makes the living entity within this material world wander through different species of life. And thus the living entity experiences mundane affairs in different forms as a human being, demigod, fat person, skinny person, and so forth. Learned scholars say that bodily appearance, bondage, and liberation are caused by the mind. Now Prabhupada explains here, echoing the Bhagavad Gita, where we learn that the mind can be the best of friend or the worst of enemies. Mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. Just as the mind is the cause of bondage, it can also, this is Prabhupada's purport, just as the mind is the cause of bondage, it can also be the cause of liberation. The mind is described here as para avara. Para means transcendental, and avara means material. When the mind is engaged in the Lord's service, savayamana krishna padara vindiyo, it is called para, transcendental. When the mind is engaged in material sense gratification, it is called avara, or material. At the present moment, in our conditioned state, our mind is fully absorbed in material sense gratification, but it can be purified and brought to its original Krishna consciousness by the process of devotional service. We have often given the example of Ambarish Maharaj, and then Prabhupada quoted, of course, Savaimana Krishna Badara Vindayoga Chansi by Kunta Gunana Varnana, which means that Ambarish Maharaj first placed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and then he used his voice for chanting the qualities of the Lord, and he used his head for bowing down to the Lord, his feet for walking to the temple of the Lord. Those three verses Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita purports. Everything, in other words, everything was engaged in the service of Krishna, so there's no Maya could enter. But the first step is fixing the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And we could say the first step is hearing the holy name, fixing the mind on the holy name, and not different. The mind must be controlled in Krishna consciousness. The tongue can be utilized to spread the message of Krishna and glorify the Lord, or take prasadam, the remnants of food offered to Krishna. Stevan Mukhi Jivado. When one utilizes the tongue in the service of the Lord, the other senses can become purified. As stated in Narada Pancharatra, Sarva Padi Vinyamuktam, Tatvarapena Nirmalam. When the mind and senses are purified, one's total existence is purified, and one's designations are also purified. One no longer considers himself a human being, a demigod, cat, dog, Hindu, Muslim, and so forth. When the senses and mind are purified, and one is fully engaged in Krishna service, one can be liberated and returned home back to Godhead. So then there's another verse here. This is text 17 in that same chapter. Because here, the Jadabhar gives some very practical instructions of how to control the mind. The uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, It is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Now, Prabhupada gives a sentence at the beginning, and then it needs a little explanation. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered, neglect. Now, when I read this, I said, wait a minute. Didn't this say in the translation that if one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful? But here it's saying the weapon to conquer it is neglect. So he's using neglect in two different ways there. If one neglects it, means if you just let it go on without doing anything. Just like if you neglect to control the mind, then you just stay a materialist forever. In other words, the mind, since time immemorial, has been dragging the living entity from one body to another. So you can't just neglect it. You have to pay attention. But here, the word neglect means ignore it. Ignore the demands of the mind. And Prabhupada explains in the next sentence. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. I forget which one is the broomstick. Broomstick is one in morning or evening. In other words, chant Hare Krishna, morning and evening program. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the orders in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahma De Kom Bhagyamandi, Guru Krishna Pasare Pai, Bhakti Latapi. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. So, the entire process of devotional service and is the process of yoga, bhakti yoga. And that yoga aspect involves, as Prabhupada said, yoga means controlling the senses, controlling the mind. So it's this mind saturated with material desires, and not only desires, but fears and anxieties, obsessions, addictions, all of the part of the six enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, envy. These things are deeply impacted in the mind, birth after birth. And we cultivate more of them in our present life. So they, then the mind acts as our master, is it? You're not in charge of the mind. The mind is in charge of you. And you're really victimized by the materialistic mind. So the process of devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name, especially the congregational chanting of the holy name, puts the mind in touch with Krishna by the hearing and the chanting and everything else. And I brought this, I've been bringing this out in classes lately. Lord Chaitanya's, wonderful gift, his main gift for us, is the Sankirtan, process of Sankirtan, congregational chanting, which is accompanied by dancing and singing and playing musical instruments. Now, there's a certain word in Sanskrit called Taurya, Taurya Pitana. Did you ever come across it? Taurya refers to these three things: singing, playing musical instruments, and dancing. Now, we all know from our experience in the material world how these three can be tremendous agents of Maya. Right? Think of all the raves and the parties and the clubs. And people are going precisely to sing and to dance and to hear so-called music play. Right? It's a very powerful force. So that same force has been harnessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and talked to us to achieve transcendence. The fact of the matter is that it captivates the mind, really. And the mind is not just what we think. It's also something called muscle memory, right? The mind also pervades the body. It's like I know from memorizing verses, or when I learned to play musical instrument, I learned as a child. My father taught me a little recorder, and I learned to play the flute, You know? So after a while, it's not like you have to think of, you know, all the things to do. It happens automatically. It's already in the muscles, in the body, subtle body. Same thing with verses. If you drill the verses, after a while, it just flows. You just get the first couple of words and it comes out. You're not thinking about it. So the same thing happens with sankirtan and any of the parts of devotional service. The more that we do them, the more they become second nature, the more the mind becomes purified, then it's naturally attracted to Krishna. The senses, just like I assume each of us is following the four regular principles. So when you first hear about them, what was that English lord? He said, oh, impossible. Right? Impossible. Jetland, Lord Jetland. Can you make me a Brahmin? He's one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, right? He said, certainly. I said, oh, really? How can you? Just follow these four regular principles. No meeting, no sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Oh, impossible. You know? Prabhupada explained, you know, that's their very life. They live for that, right? So, but when you come into the association of devotees, you start practicing Krishna consciousness, you get in association, you hear the spiritual master, you say, you may have the impetus to do some of those, one or more of those, and you say, no, I can't do that. That you know, then I'll lose all this Krishna consciousness. What will they think of me? What will my spiritual master think of me? And so there's a block there. And gradually it becomes so that just like Yamunacharya with the sex life, he thinks about it, he spits at the thought. Can you imagine the kind of detachment? So the same thing can be there for, certainly, which is there today for all of these things. No one here is going to go out, is tempted to even think about going to a place and having a steak or a hamburger. Woo, the very thought of it, you know. However, those of us who weren't born in the movement, that was, you know, something we did regularly without any mistake. So the mind can be changed by good association and by associating with Krishna through all the processes we've been given, chiefly the chanting of the Holy Name. The mind can be purified. And if the intelligence, by its association with Krishna through especially good devotees, this is one of Jad Bhard's instructions, this famous verse, Bahubanaika Tapasana Yati, that one cannot become detached and free from birth and death by austerities, long study of the Vedas, many sacrifices, renunciation. No, one has to bathe himself in the foot dust of the pure devotees. Same thing that Prahlad told his father. So that means getting the association and accepting the authority. The mind, Prabhupada says, I love this line, the mind has to accept some superior authority and follow it. Either the mind is accepting the senses, or the mind is accepting the intelligence, but that can also be contaminated, or the mind is accepting the authority of Krishna through the agency of the devotee, the pure devotee, and the shastra. So there's a battle on it. There's a battle. We're in the middle of it. For our mind, what are we going to do with the mind? Where are we going to place it? What are we going to reject? And that is a very essential part of Krishna consciousness. And I was listening to Baba Vachala, I listen every morning, and he's describing the wonderful sweet lecture he gave in Los Angeles, and he's describing how to become attached to Krishna, how to become advanced. And he describes this verse that one gopi tells another. You know? Smaranam bhangi trayapatasitam sakshi vishti na drishti. This is a verse where one gopi tells another that, oh, there's this wonderful, probably this wonderful boy who's standing on the bank of Keki Ghat. And he's standing with playing the flute, smiling beautifully, and the moon is shining off of his lips, and he's known as Govinda. He's a pre-Buddhist. But if don't go there, Prabhupada said, devotee's life. Don't go there if you still plan to enjoy family life. You know. So, and then Prabhupada, you know, he goes into the idea of how can you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, and he talks about the mind. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. The word mati means the mind. So this is the pure devotion is characterized like this. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitanati. The mind absorbed in Krishna bhakti rasa. And Prabhupada says this is the origin of the phrase Krishna consciousness. This is the translation. Krishna consciousness comes from this phrase in the verse. I think it was written originally by Brahmananda Roy. Krishna bhakti kriyatam hidikatopi labhyate. If you can buy this state of mind, go, you should buy it wherever you can. Kriyatam hidikatopi labhyate. Tatra lauling of the mulya mekalam, but the sole price is your greed for it, your desire for it. Unlike material things, you may desire like anything, but if you don't have the money, you can buy it. But here, the price itself is your desire for it. But janma koti sukatayana labhyate. You cannot get this greed by millions of births of pious activity, material pious activity. So how do you get the greed? How do you get your desire to be Krishna conscious? That's the whole key. And that is by association with devotees who are greedy of them. This is how, Prabhupada's greatest gift, I read every year I prepare this Vyasa Puja book. You've seen it. I guess some of you may have seen it this year. Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja book. So a few years ago, Burujan Prabhu, he writes an offering every year. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I've come to realize that the greatest gift that you gave us when you were with us was you yourself, your association. Because without that personal association and example of Srila Prabhupada, the seed of faith and enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness would never be planted. Never started this whole movement. And that's a principle that's there forever. Now, Prabhupada has left himself, of course, through his books and lectures and everything, you can still associate with Prabhupada. And with those who are reflecting Prabhupada to one degree or another, you know, to a greater degree, his enthusiasm and his purity and things like that. That's how you get the seed of desire to be Krishna conscious. And then there's the work of sadhana. Sadhana means work. Yeah, and the work is mostly with the mind, believe it or not, if you think about it. It's taking that mind, just like this verse I always like to chant, when Lord Chaitanya started his instruction to Sanatana, he quotes this verse that I later learned by Madhavendra Puri. Kama dinam katina kapita pavita dhurnidesha. Hesham jata maina tadamana kapano pashanti utsvid jayatam adiyata patesam patam lakam patibdi. And how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting these hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. Put it into a little poetry, remember. So this is the state of the conditioned soul, is that we're really tormented and under the control of these different desires that we call them, beginning with lust, kama dinam, because kama, etc. We know from the Bhagavad Gita, it all begins with material desire, kama. And that devolves into anger, right, which creates bewilderment of memory, all of the Krishna described in the second chapter. So since time immemorial, we've been following this. Now in the lower species, we can't do anything about it. Our intelligence is too rudimentary. But here, this Madhavendra said, my intelligence has been awoken, and now I'm rejecting these desires, in other words, these demands of my... But you can't just reject them. You have to accept other demands. So the last verse, the line says, now I'm approaching you, O Lord, please engage me in your service. And then you give me other demands instead of these three things. Sublimating your desires in the sense of things. So this is the battle that we all have. And this song of the Avanti Brahman is meant to instruct us in that we can't blame anyone else. We shouldn't go looking for any of our difficulties. It's all because of our embracing of this material mind and still following the demands. Rather than seeing we're not the mind, we need to train the mind to be our best friend, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And that is done through the process of devotional service. Now, I wanted to just refer one other thing. It's such an important topic. There's a book, as you may have heard, actually a poem by Raghunathas Goswami called Manak Shiksha. Manak Shiksha means instruction to the mind. Now, I remember being exposed to this way back in the 80s when Kusha Prabhupada translated it. And I don't know if he translated, I think he may have translated the commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Irmala, Srimati Irmala Dasi, has prepared this book, Manak Shiksha, with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, and also, of course, the translations, word-by-word synonyms and everything. And also a commentary of some of our senior lights. Sri Ram Swami has something in there, Jayavaita Maharaj has something, Sachinandan Maharaj started reading. And this is available, it probably is available as a book, but I got it as a Kindle book, it was less than $10. So I wanted to share just one of these, in case you haven't read it in a while, or you're not familiar. I'll skip the sense that it's long. This is verse 5, and this is exactly, I mean, this is exactly in our wheelhouse. This is where we live, this verse. So you say, while here on the revealed path of devotion, so we're all trying to advance in devotional service, while here on the revealed path of devotion, I have been attacked by the hideous gang of lust and its accomplices, who have bound my neck with the troublesome, dreadful ropes of wicked deeds. I'm being killed. So this is now instruction to the mind. Cry out piteously like this, to the devotees of Krishna, the destroyer of Baka, O mine, they will save you from these enemies. So, I'm not going to read this whole thing by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he gives an analysis of this verse, very illuminating. There's even little illustrations, very nicely done. It's a wonderful book, $10. You know, it's a treasure, if you have some kind of device to read it. But this is, in other words, we have to distance ourselves a little bit from the mind. This is the whole thing. We're not the mind, right? I mean, most of us can fairly well understand you're not the body, right? This is my body. You know? But we generally identify with the mind, the subtle mind. That also we have to distance ourselves from. And realize, no, this mind has to be brought to heel because it's constantly distracting us, do this, do this. In another one, he talks about, oh, do not hear, you know, mundane talks, which are like a prostitute that will steal away your desire to be Krishna conscious. Yeah, Kajalpa. I mean, just go to the Upadeshamrita. It's all about this, controlling the mind. And the chief way of controlling it is through hearing and chanting, beginning with the holy name. I always love these verses because they also engage, you know, the holy name, as Prabhupada says famously on the address of the record, is beyond the intelligence even. It's just pure Krishna manifesting there. You have to stop it and just hear the holy name. These verses, they help to engage the intelligence also. And you can pray to the holy name. There's a couple of more verses, if you just give me here, I'd like to share with you. One is from so in the Pagavali, which I do have, there's so many beautiful verses, and that's quoted extensively, by the way, in Bhaktivinoda's commentary. But there's one, this devotee, and he's an anonymous devotee, he compares the mind to a wild horse. In the Bhagavatam, the mind is sometimes compared to a bee, right, flitting here from one thing to another, or a very stubborn wild horse that he can't tame. So here he's comparing it to a horse. So he says, Bhavod Bhava Klesha Kashas Tahata Parid Brahmam Indriya Kapatantare Niyamyatam Madhava Me Manohayas Tadam Vishankau Vida Bhakti Bandhani. Beaten by hundreds of whips of material sufferings, the horse of my mind is running wildly on the dangerous road of the senses. O Lord Madhava, please rein in that wild horse and tie it to the hitching post of your lotus feet with the ropes of strong devotional service. Isn't that a sweet verse? And the one from Mukundamala, this thing is not working right. He's describing how the thieves of my senses have stolen my most I must ondasya here the ondasya made the Vaveka Mahatamasya Chaurayka Bobalaba Indanamadeha Mohan the Kupukahade Patrikasya Devesha Dehi Kapanasya Kadavalam. So he says, ondasya made that the thieves of my senses have blinded me and stolen my most valuable possession, our discrimination, our intelligence, you know, discrimination. And they've thrown me into a blind well of illusion. Vinipatatasya. So we're helpless. If you're in this blind well of the material world and you don't have an inkling of why you're suffering or how to get out, you're just at the mercy of the material energy. And this is the great gift of the acharyas, the representatives of Krishna. They come in order to give us enlightenment, to save us and pull us out. And that was to the Prabhupada's whole identity, you know, is to follow the order of his spiritual master, somehow teach in the Western world, and be Lord Chaitanya's representative, and somehow plant the seeds in some fertile hearts, so that we could be saved from suffering. This is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, this is the mood of his movement. It's not just for our own benefit to get out and know Krishna Bhakti, but to see our kinship with every soul, and especially the human beings who are receptive to the message. So we've been blessed in that way, and we have now so much facility. The temples here, these wonderful deities, which can just draw the mind and the heart that the different allow them to. You know, I like to, every time I come here, I like to share this prayer. It was given to me by an old friend who's no longer with us. And it's from a book called the Bhakti Prayo Vasanava. It's all about Sakyaras. And this is an obeisance prayer to Krishna Balaram, kind of rare. So he says, Jaladara Shashi Varno, Gopavesho Kishoro, Sahatsapigami Vrindai, Kijamano Vrdesho. Natapadaji Vavesho, Nila Pitan Bharadyo, Jagatatananahetu, Rama Krishna Matosu. I bow down to Balaram and Krishna. So first the complexion, Jaladada Shashi Varno, they have the complexion of the fresh rain cloud and the moon, so the whitish and the little blackish red. Jaladada Shashi Varno, Gopa Vesha Kishora, and they're dressed just like adolescent gopis, cowherd boys. They're with their friends, they're playing, Sahatabhigani Vrindai, Krijimano Vajesho, and they are the lords of Vrindavan. Then it's nothing but a Jita Vesho, they're dressed to feast that of the best of dancing actors. And Balaram is wearing bluish and Krishna is wearing yellow garment. They are the sources of the whole material manifestation. And I offer my basic. So I like to offer that prayer. But also, don't neglect the Bhagavatam 21st chapter. The 21st chapter is the Venu Gita. So the gopis are hearing the flute, and then they begin their song, and the first two are about Krishna and Balaram. It's described in the commentaries, they're a little leery that their parents or the elders are going to hear them just glorifying Krishna, so they glorify Krishna and Balaram at first. Akshambatambalamidandapadambidama. For those who have eyes, there's no greater fruit, no greater vision than to see the beautiful faces of the sons of Nanda Maharaj as they enter into the forest with their friends, herding the cows before them, and playing their flutes, and casting loving sidebone glances upon all the residents of Vrindavan. What a wonderful meditation of Krishna Balaram, and the next verse also. So these, back to our theme, these sound vibrations, the directing the mind to memorize a verse, even if it's just a short little verse, this is bringing the mind toward Krishna. And that attraction, Krishna is all attractive. The whole idea is that the mind is, having turned away from Krishna, we're attracted to the phantasmagoria and the glitter of the material energy. But it's fool's gold. It's a trick. It just ends in suffering and attachment and misery. You know, and it happens on an individual level and it happens on a macro level for the whole world. So we have the key. We've been given the antidote to that. And that is Krishna consciousness. It's all its multivariate ways by which we can engage the senses and the mind and connecting to Krishna and glorifying Krishna and giving Krishna. So that's the final lesson of this Abhanti Brahma, is that There's no point in blaming anybody for the difficulties. It's all on us. That second line means, I understand that all of our vipaka, whatever I'm suffering, is due to my own activities in the previous life or in this life. No point in blaming Krishna. No point in blaming this devotee, or this or that or whatever. You see? Simply recognizing it as Krishna's mercy, just like this Avanti Brahman. He says, oh, this is a blessing. Whereas the prostitute Pingala, the same thing. You know, she finally embraces renunciation as a solution rather than trying to do her business and getting all kinds of anxiety. Mm-hmm. So we've been given all these gifts to help us direct our mind and turn the mind so that mind relishes and runs to the lotus feet of Krishna. And becomes an agent, and the gopis are so advanced. They have this mood where they try to forget Krishna. Say something auspicious, but don't speak about Krishna. You know, they're just in the mood of a little anger because he's not present. You know, but I can't forget him. And it's impossible to forget him. So wouldn't that be wonderful where it's impossible to forget Krishna? The mind is so attractive that, you know, it's not. So that's what the end result of this process is. Okay, I'll stop for anybody. Any questions, comments, somebody here? Then Master Prabhu.
I'm thinking of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where there's the four points that have to be in place for one to make spiritual advancement before achieving the level of bhava. Yeah. One is that one should be in a financially stable position. One should be in a socially acceptable position. One should be in good health. And one should be intellectually nourished by regularly imbibing shastra. And, you know, my years in the movement, I've seen people, devotees go through tests. And they don't do so well with them because it's a little over their head.
One or more of those is not present.
Like that, yeah. And, the Avanti Brahmana, like, wow, it's a high platform. And sometimes that does happen to devotees and they pass it. So, what's a little, in my mind, a little confusing, are you familiar with that?
I'd be honest with you, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it up one time with Paladananda Swami in a different context, and he reordered it for me. I had it out of order, the four points. But it's often used as a supportive reference for Vanashram, the stability. But what he says is before the level of bhava, in order to make spiritual advancement, those four things have to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem, that we're getting this instruction in the song of the Avanti Brahmana that, hey, even if it's heavier than that, keep going. It's actually really good for you to go through these heavy tests.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, that verse of the, is it 89th? I think it's 89th chapter, or 88th chapter of the...
1088?
Yes, I'm not a good army, how to say. Probably would quote that in reference to himself sometimes, which means that Krishna's telling Yudhishthira that for those devotees I show real mercy to, I gradually take away their wealth, and in that condition their family members don't like them anymore and kick them out, and this is really good for them. I'm showing my mercy, and then they just take shelter of me. So that's directly, what happened to my financial stability, now I can't make any. I think there's different ideals and instructions of people in different states of being. Most people are going to be in a household condition, and even to begin devotional service or to advance, you can't be so worried about your material condition. There has to be some kind of stability there. I think that's what you're talking about. There has to be some peace of mind in order to practice Krishna consciousness. Just like it's described, this planet is ideal for Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it's not completely bad and it's not completely good. You go to the heavenly planets, it's too pleasant there. What's the impetus? I mean, they're devotees, but they're enjoying like anything. And you go to the hellish world, or the hellish parts of this world, and how can, you know, people even think about these things? They're just trying to survive from one moment or one day to the next. So you need a kind of a place where, yeah, you can see the evils. I remember when I was a young man, I worked in a hospital for about a year. And at that time, I started reading Bhagavad Gita. I was also doing yoga, you know. And being in that hospital was really moving me along in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, I was seeing, yeah, it really is. You think about it, all those four are very much prominent in the hospital. Birth, death, all these movies. So, but most of the time, you know, we work very hard to try to put those things in the background, certainly of our mind, right? Is that, well, yeah, you're young, you don't, you kind of think, well, I'm going to be young forever. You know, I give you the example of when I used to live in Miami, on the beach, working on the Bhagavatam, with Gopi Paramananda Prabhu, living on this very versatile there. And they had just built a boardwalk. I didn't ask for this, but there I was, right on the beach in a hotel, within sight of the water. You know, people work all their lives away, but that was my office. So I'm looking out there, they had just built this boardwalk. And they say, oh, they spent so many millions of dollars. You know? So the old-timers, you know, a lot of retirees, they would walk on the boardwalk. And then on the beach, you had the Brazilians. Somehow they would come up, the upper crust Brazilians. They would come up, they would when it's winter down there, it's summer in Miami. You remember, like, in Gopal. And we would see they were playing volleyball. They would have volleyball games, you know. So I look at the irony. There's the old-timers looking at the young Brazilians all playing. And they say, maybe they say, yeah, I used to be able to do that. But the Brazilians are looking at the old-timers and say, I'll never be like that. You know? I'm young. I'm lucky. I got a strong body. Right? This is why they draft the 18-year-olds into the army, because you think you'll live forever. You know? But that, you know, that's gross illusion, obviously. And so much of part of knowledge is this. As he said, Krishna says in the 13th chapter, Jamma Mithyajata Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Darshan. So the idea is that you don't voluntarily, in Krishna consciousness, undergo severe austerity. There are some austerities that are built in, you know, that, you know, fasting on certain days and so forth. But we're not into extreme, you know, oh, it's summertime, okay, let me go out to the desert and sit under the sun, you know, anything like that. But you realize that you use every moment possible to cultivate your Krishna consciousness, and that becomes your austerity. And then when the inevitable things happen in this world that are negative, you're able to see them as you know, ideally, as, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. There's like 20 pieces, you know, but if you pray for the difficulties that happen in it. But it is necessary, and Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to create temples so that there would be a good situation for people to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And the whole dham thing, to, you know, build up Maya to Vrindavan, so that the devotees could go there and have a place to live and be, you know, so Prabhupada was very much aware of that, providing that for us. But we can't have to be completely dependent on it, because at any moment it can be a problem. Go ahead, Roger. Can we? And then I think we have to answer.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you say. You were talking earlier about Lord Chaitanya bringing the singing and dancing together. And you used a Sanskrit word, I believe.
How are you speaking it? T-A-U-R-Y-A. The T-A-U-R-Y-A. Taurya. There's a verse I know about it, which I won't share with you. It's sort of about Taurya Pitena, that Krishna's being charmed by the peacocks dancing and the cuckoos singing and the bamboo, you know, in the breeze, making like a musical instrument thing. And he's completely charmed by that, and that word appears there. And I looked it up and I explored it. Okay. All glory to the Prabhupada. Okay. Mm. get you?
You're supposed to turn the microphone on, so we're down here.
Okay.
Although, you know, I'm not going to bring it in from that hill. It struck me because... I just spent 2 days in Nathan, and they're sticking with me.